Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpinito, and I'm joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Zapata.
Irashimase. Hello, everybody. Good day to you. Hope you are doing well.
And Colin Sparling.
Hello, everybody. You know, the unspoken hero of this whole situation, hand lotion. Make sure you guys are moisturizing, because I know you're doing a whole lot of hand washing. So you gotta get some O'Keefe's working hands and make sure you're moisturizing them hands. Also some Neutrogena Norwegian formula. That shit's good too.
We're sponsored by both O'Keefe and Neutrogena this week. This is
highly specific. I will say though, I agree with that. Moisturize, especially the back of your hands, because my knuckles will get chapped AF gross if you don't do it. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, and since Neutrogena isn't paying a shit, feel free to use whatever lotion you want. We will not sway your loyalties to hand lotion.
Yeah, and make sure you hit up.
That's what I like.
While we're talking about lotion too, make sure you hit up them weenuses.
Mm-hmm.
Get both your weenuses, your ween eye.
Mm-hmm. God, is that still a thing people say?
Yeah, it's still a
it's
thing.
A medical
people
term.
Still got weenuses. It is
the excess skin on your elbow.
It's crucial.
Is that seriously a medical term?
It's have the I got my skin on your elbow.
Totally.
Holy shit.
Yes. And guys, what else? And then make sure you get just get your whole facade. Make sure you're well moisturized, people.
I think my vocabulary has grown tenfold since starting doing the show.
Good.
I'm glad that the word weenus is the one that made you realize that.
Yes. Perfect.
We've tried to educate this man, internet. I promise you.
I think I'm the Ruka of the Tadaima crew.
That's
Colin.
True. I've seen protein powder in the fridge before. I think that's true.
You literally have a master's degree in communications, dude.
I do.
With that in mind, this week we're talking about another Terrace Clips from Tokyo 2019-2020 Part 2. We did something very similar to this like 3 months ago, ? For the Part 1 clips. Now we're rounding up the Part 2 clips. And going to take a little bit of a deep dive into them. But before we do, I do want to say here off the top that if you want to be on our show, you kind of have a chance to do that. We've opened up a voicemail, so you can just call the number that I'm about to say and leave us some words, really, whatever you want. We'd prefer them to be kind, but we're not going to tell you what to do. And you can just leave us a little voicemail. We're hoping that maybe we could put some of them in for our 100th episode coming up in just a few short, scary weeks.
Wow.
So if you want to be on the show, please call 614-349-6579. I'll repeat it if you rewind 15 seconds. Just call that number and we'll see what happens. We hope to see a lot of fun voicemails come in.
I'm disappointed by the lack of 69 in that number.
Yes.
We will put it in the show notes. We'll put it in, the YouTube description, etc. as well too. And we'll say it again at the end of the show. But we are looking forward to hearing what comes in. And we might play it during that 100th episode. So leave a message.
Tell us what you think. What's on your mind?
Hell yeah.
Tell Robert he looks good today.
Tell us what you ate for lunch. I kind of want to know.
Tell us your best French toast recipe.
Yeah.
So without further ado, let's dive in. What we did is we watched all of the Another Terrace clips from Part 2 that have been translated courtesy of Costco subs. We're not going to go through all of them because that's about 16, 17-ish small videos, which is a lot to cover. So what we've done is we just kind of voted on the ones internally, the ones that we want to talk about, and we're just going to kind of hit the highlights, the ones that we really want to sink our teeth into.
Hike.
So let's start off with this one from week 13 where Ruka wants to be a YouTuber. We're starting out strong.
Ruka. Good.
Listen, I love the kid. I love watching the kid. He is very entertaining. At this point, I'm just like, Ruka's just, has he plateaued yet? Has he hit a point where it's just like, that's just Ruka? You know, I think he's kind of there now. It's just Ruka-isms are a full-blown term now.
Nah, I don't know. He still surprises me in the later clips for sure. But this was painful, but it also kind of helped me realize, we've we've unceremoniously been punching down on Ruka for the past who knows how long, right? I think it's only recently we've been kind of punching him up a bit. But this clip kind of showed me that we're not alone. Haruka and Kaori definitely, definitely are entertained, let's say, by Ruka's antics.
Like, I think it's because we wouldn't be as, I don't want to use the word anti-Ruka, but we wouldn't be as like, haha, Ruka, if he didn't set himself up for these moments by being like weirdly confident about things. So like the scene here is that Shohei gets back from doing like a shoot for a promotion for a clothing brand. Just like a short thing that's probably going to go on Instagram. And he mentions, you know, like he was directing it because, you know, he's been on sets quite a bit and has had that experience of like watching someone direct and therefore has gotten some pointers that way. And Ruka's just like, I could be a YouTuber. I could do that. I could film. I'd like to try filming. I could do that. And then so everyone's like, okay, do it. And he's like,
now I'm on the spot.
I also want to point out that Shohei had a fucking blue leopard print pimp suit on in the beginning of this clip. And I was like, what is this? Then they're taking photos of like his feet and stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck is Shohei into? He's directing this. Like, what are they trying to sell here? Like this blue leopard print pimp suit? Did anyone else like have a reaction to that? I was like, what is this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I don't know, some sort of conceptual fashion thing. So at the beginning, he said, what did he say? He said stores that sell mostly Asian brands. This is all just straight from memory. But so I'm guessing the store either like makes these clothes or somebody does. I don't know if it's a designer. Does anyone remember?
I mean, they might just distribute it. I mean, he didn't go into detail. We can't really.
Yeah.
Sure. I was just making sure he didn't. Because I don't remember.
For the shop.
Yeah. Gotcha.
It was fun, though. I like how Kaori and Haruka were like encouraging Ruka to, you know, hey, go ahead, do it. No, just fine. Like fine. You know, they were trying to guide him and coach him. And Shohei was there, too. But it turned out being really funny having someone try and live act a YouTube channel video in front of you, like off the cuff, too. Ruka's not the strongest at improvisation. Particularly comedic improvisation.
Yeah, like he's the kind where you laugh at him, not with him, much like Kaori and Haruka were doing, right? Like I love that they had the camera people cut from Ruka doing stuff to then just shots of Kaori fucking losing it. Like she is so fucking just gone. Because Ruka, his level of improvisation is like, hello, I am Ruka, and today we're going to talk about tea.
It wasn't
this
smooth.
Tea. Yeah.
It was so rough.
The things he would say are really funny. Like, even though I just use one teaspoon, it still tastes really strong or whatever.
Like, I don't know enough about like Japanese YouTube to judge whether or not his performance was like super ridiculous or just kind of ridiculous. Like, there's definitely a level of like, wow, Ruka, but I don't know at what level that is.
It was fun. It was really entertaining to watch, though. And like that's kind of advice he got as well. We'll talk about this other video where he works out with a trainer. But they're almost saying, you know what? The way you are is pretty unique and it's entertaining to watch. And it's kind of something that you can almost make the argument. Maybe you don't want to change too much or become too, quote unquote, normal because he stands out from the crowd and his idiocisms or whatever. Idioms.
Idiosyncrasies.
One of those words.
Them some words.
Yeah.
I wonder if in Japanese YouTube it's still a thing to say smash that like button, hit the subscribe button, ring ding that bell. Because I didn't see any of that. I don't think it's a lot
you didn't
more.
Ask us to subscribe.
No, that's true. I mean, Ruka, how are we supposed to subscribe to you if you don't tell us to?
ProZD had a really funny video. He's like, man, I just wish there was a way I could let them know how I feel about this video. If I could just be on top of when they do new comments and just show my appreciation. And he's like, oh, like, comment, and subscribe. And he's like, oh.
Oh.
Yeah, there's that one. That one's a pretty funny video.
Yeah. I don't know. Overall, this clip is just, it's one of the many, 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 many examples of Ruka just, he's still learning. I think that's the nicest way we can say it. He's still learning.
And it's somewhat disheartening in today's world of social distancing that Shohei's just at the table with a mask on, just coughing. I mean, at least he has a mask on, but he's like, oh, I'm really sick. It's really infectious, by the way. Haruka's like, I'm going to go way over here then. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, she was probably about 6 feet away, maybe.
My goodness. Around,
maybe.
Get me out of that room.
I think let's shift over to this next clip we have here from week 14. It's the one where Cowdy's talking with her friend at that cafe about how she went to talk to her professor, and her professor kind of chewed her out about how she should become better at her work. One of the reasons I think this was worth bringing up is that, let's see, Cowdy leaves, what, like week 17 or 18, right?
That sounds right.
If this clip were in the actual show, we'd actually have gotten foreshadowing of, oh, she wants to move to London. Because I remember when she said, I'm moving to London, I was like, the fuck, where did that come from?
It's very sudden.
Yeah, and this clip feels like, oh, that's where this came from.
Yeah, she was interested in moving,
didn't she?
New York or London, yeah. She was interested in, because she felt like if she went there, everything would have to be like straight off of her merit as an artist. Versus, like, I guess in Japan, something the professor apparently brought up that I really, really irked me. He was like, and this is quoting from Kaori, but she said, like, you know, I worry about like him saying, like, you have to rely off of your appeal as a young woman. And it's like, get that sexist shit out of here. Like, sure. Like, Kaori is absolutely lovely, but I certainly think that she would be able to make it in the world with just on the merit of her art.
One of the takeaways I had too, and these videos kind of bleed together for me, but she does mention that she went to school in Canada for a time. It was boring for her. So she, so a bunch of her friends and her left, obviously, but she speaks English. She went to school in North America, you know, and I have seen on Instagram, people have shared with us on Discord, thanks for that, some of the stories where she is speaking English. And she has an accent, but it's definitely like you can communicate with her, you know, so that was good to know, too.
Yeah. Like even some of her Insta posts are written in, like the captions are in English. So, she's pretty good.
Yeah. And I think that's one of many clips, I think, for Cowdy specifically that gives us a little bit more context to what was going through her head between this situation and the situation we'll see later with Haruka. And the pool scene where she kind of like breaks down a little bit and she heads to the bedroom.
Yeah. I guess other than the pool scene, this is really one of the only times that we get to see her like really vulnerable and talking about her fears with her career and how much that does consume her every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one of her major arcs throughout part one and two is kind of that imposter syndrome, you know, that she displays several times.
Yeah. And I think her way of thinking too, moving to the US or London, basically she
London
escapes
in the US.
She's escaping the Terrace House bump. You know what I'm saying? Like she's escaping the Terrace House bump because she's in like we talked about already, like going off the merit of her own work rather than just relying on the popularity that she's getting from a TV show, because that's certainly going to help her in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that synergizes well with her exit interview, right? Where I think one of the last lines she says in that interview is that she doesn't want to just be, one artist from Terrace House, right? She wants to be Kaori Watanabe, the artist.
I mean, it should be a springboard, right? It should launch her. And there's nothing wrong with using it as a springboard, I think, but like, you know, then go and become your own person. But also, I don't know about running from it. I don't know if I would recommend that. I mean, it's unavoidable. It's going to happen. You know, like we said, like whether or not she runs from it or not, it's kind of already happened. And her career is on a whole different trajectory because of Terrace House. I think it's a positive. So I can see that. Yeah. I can see the urge, though, to want to resist that. But it's kind of like too late after you've already been there almost, you know, a part and a half, basically.
Yeah, I think it's just that with a lot of people that we've known on Terrace House, a lot of them are still like, oh, that firefighter from Terrace House or whatever, right? I think the only person I can think of that's really broken out of that Terrace House bump bubble is Lauren Tsai, because now people know her as that girl on Legion, or that girl who's like draws Marvel covers, or that girl who's about to be in a Netflix show. Like she's gone so far that people know her as, like, they would be surprised to know, oh, she was on reality TV before.
Right. Yeah. A lot of those people probably don't even have any idea what Terrace House is.
Mm. You forgot to mention how else she's famous by being in our Terrace House Deathmatch Panic. She's known wide and far for that.
Yeah, she's in the finals. we'll drop the championship later at the end of the episode.
That's her real claim to fame. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's kind of unfair, though, in terms of, like, Lauren Tsai is in the entertainment industry. So, like, her face gets out there in other shows and productions, whereas, like, this is probably the only time that we're going to, you know, like, publicly see Kaori as just Kaori versus, like, her work, which maybe is unfair. Like, maybe her work will get really famous and start being known for, like, her work just on its own. But for people like Armon or even Hansan, it must, you know, become kind of an albatross as just like, oh, you were that guy on Terrace House, because in their careers, they're not going to be on television otherwise.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Now that I think about it, we're mentioning it a little bit, not to dwell on Lauren too much, but do you guys know Olivia Munn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Their careers kind of have similar backstories. I mean, even Olivia Munn became a Marvel superhero.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Wasn't she on G4?
Yeah.
Attack of the Show?
Yeah. She's on a lot of stuff, but I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I just thought they were both superheroes. It's funny.
Yeah, that's where I knew her from. Anyway.
Let's jump over to the next clip. This is from week 19, where Ruka, Pepe, Haruka, Kaori, and Emika, right? All five of them are sitting at the dining table, and they're playing this little tabletop game called Best Act, which it's kind of this weird mix of, like, charades and not charades. I don't know.
I hope there's an English version of this, because I'd love to play this game with you guys.
Mm. But yeah, it's basically like everyone is given a phrase to say, and then there's a board in the middle that tells you like what inflection or what tone to have when you say it. And then everyone goes around in a circle to perform it, and everyone else has to guess like, oh, you meant to say it like erotically, or like you have an ulterior motive or something.
Yeah, or compassionately, or confusing. Yeah, it's very interesting. You're not allowed to use body language either. You just have to do it with your face. And so it's kind of a hard concept to just like explain, but then once Kaori like kind of passed out all the game pieces and they did like a dry run, it became pretty easy to wrap your head around. It looks like fun.
Yeah, I was watching this clip and I was just like, give me more of this shit. I love this. This just the house members having fun together and just hanging out, playing games, making themselves look ridiculous.
I fucking loved this. It was so cute. Everyone hanging out, everyone, you know, making eye contact, talking to each other, playing a game together. But I feel like if they had included this in the original cut of the show, we would have been like, what is this ad in the middle of like this? Because it was so an ad, because they had custom made like graphics for it. And like Kaori had clearly been briefed, unless she's just a big fan. But it was such an ad. But like, it sold me on it. But I feel like maybe if it had been in the original show, I would have been like, this rubs me the wrong way.
Kind of like that cooking show, Another Terrace, they did last part. That was like an ad for cooking in a way.
Yeah, but it was like a recipe. It was a recipe. This definitely was like, it's an ad to spend $30 to buy this game.
I didn't even think about that.
That's how I read it. It's like, I'm a cynical asshole. And I was like, you know, this is cool. But this is very like, oh, you know that game the Terrace House people play? You know that show Terrace House, that show where everyone says I love you to each other? Yeah, let's have them say I love you to each other in these fun ways that our board game Best Act lets you play. For $30, you can buy Best Act and play it just like the Terrace House people who say I love you in fun ways.
Now you guys make me feel like a sucker, because I just said I wanted to get this and play it with you guys. Fuck you guys.
No, I mean, like, I mean, I said I'm sold.
Though, to be fair, they have several times on screen played PS4 and Switch, and they've talked about Pokemon and other games like that. And also, I mean, Shion and Tsubasa did an actual PlayStation 4 ad.
But that was off terrorism.
That's not terrorism. Yeah. I mean, is it really I get what you guys saying, and I'm not saying you're wrong. It probably is an ad, but also, like, it's a pretty natural thing to just want to play board games at the dining room table with your roommates to bond with them, too. Yeah. So I'm going to look at it through that lens, you know, that was just like, hey, they just want to have fun. And it was fun. And Hataka got to express her acting chops again, and she is a good actress. And when she had to say it sexy, she took her hair down, she tossed it around, looked right Pepe in the eyes, and made him, like, swoon. It was real. She got a reaction out of Pepe for sure.
That was the moment he fell harder in love.
Yeah. It was the moment.
I fell for him a little bit when he did his passionate ski. Like his prompt was like passionate. He was like ski.
See, I thought it was I thought he was the one with ulterior motives. That was my guess.
Oh, really?
That was my guess. Yeah.
Ski,
but freaking Ruka was the best too. He could barely do it.
Oh yeah,
and they wanted him to go first. Yeah,
like,
it was
one more time, one more. Ski. And he's like,
Oh no, this is so embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's another example of him just being like a bad actor, because we've seen him during that fighting class, that stage fighting class. Gosh. He was also bad at that. So I'm just thinking, like, if you really want to be Spider-Man, my friend. You have to step it up.
He just doesn't like a lot of people looking at him. No. You know, it's like, dude, you got to get over that.
Yeah,
man. How does he
get so embarrassed?
How does he expect to watch Tony Stark die in a realistic way?
Whoa. Spoilers.
Jeez. Spoilers for a movie. Came out
last
May.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Spoilers for a movie that like everyone has seen.
Yes.
In the world, yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh. It was cool to hear. I was just gonna say it was cool to hear. Pepe's accent is really apparent when he speaks English versus Japanese.
Yes.
Because he went like, I knew it.
And it was like
a very Italian accent.
It sounds like a caricature. It almost sounds like he's making fun of Italian accents, but it's real. And now I can hear him even when he's speaking Japanese. I can hear the Italian accent. It's really funny.
Yeah.
It's endearing, though. It makes me like him more, honestly.
Yeah, like, you'll notice, too, like, throughout these clips, I don't remember which one this was in, but there are people who ask him, like, oh, do you know what this means? And he's kind of like, oh, no, that's a term I'm not familiar with, you know, because he's still learning Japanese in a way, right? But let's keep punching down on Ruka, because I guess that's what we just naturally default to do.
Okay.
Let's go to week 19, where everyone teaches Ruka how to say the four seasons.
Oh, boy.
In English.
Oh boy,
man, this was rough to watch.
Spring.
It was like, and this was one of the moments that Pepe was like, wait, like, because they were asking him about Italy, and they were like, yeah, it's like, oh, do you have Shiki. Do you have the, and he was like, oh, I don't know that word. And it's like, oh, four seasons. And it's like, oh, yeah. It's really similar to Japan, which was cool to know. Because I actually didn't know that. I've always thought like Italy's really warm for some reason, but it totally has winter.
Yeah, I love too that Ryo was there to kind of bridge the gap where he actually says in English, like, four seasons, you know? And it's like,
everyone
there
at the table except for Ruka could speak English because Kaori was there too.
Yeah.
And wasn't this when Pepe was like, wait, say things in English. I want to hear your accent. Say things in English.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't Torino in Italy? They had the Winter Olympics there. Mm-hmm. So they definitely have some hardcore snow in Italy in certain parts.
Yeah. No, but I do love that Pepe was jabbing Cardi, like, oh, I want to hear you speaking. I know you speak English, motherfucker.
I know you do this. You don't do it enough around here. And then she had to like defend herself, like, oh, I feel like I'm being tested. You know, she's like, well, everyone here speaks Japanese, but he brings up a good point. Like, help immerse young Ruka in English. It'll only, you know, make him better, give him more practice.
Actually, this brings up a question for me. Do you think that as being on Terrace House, they're like obligated to speak Japanese? Do you think that's like part of the contract? Like, because what if they got someone who was like English was their first language and they spoke a majority of the time in English on the show?
I mean, Aloha State had a lot of English in it. I don't think there's any contract saying you have to speak it. Yeah. I just think they're just trying to effectively communicate with each other and just be efficient.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, not to drop Lauren Tsai again, but she, like, English was her primary language, right?
Yeah. And
like,
she speaks English a lot too. Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, it's still a Japanese reality TV show, right? It kind of makes sense that Japanese as their primary focus.
Right.
And everyone knows Aloha State was bad because it was English in it, right? So
that's the only reason.
Moving on. One little tidbit I took out of this is Ruka's favorite song is Spring Day by BTS. That's kind of cool, I guess. It's very K-pop connected.
It is a BTS song. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a BTS song.
They tried to get him to say ring and then add the SP in the beginning. So they're like, what's this? What's your earring? What's and then Kari had to hold her ring. Like, how do you say this?
Yubitabe.
Say it, ring.
Yubitabe.
Took him forever to get that.
Did anyone pick up on somebody mentioned that it was a fake ring?
Piercing.
Yeah, but I think somebody said something about a fake piercing.
Or like a clip-on.
Clip-on earring.
I did hear that. Are they saying that his earring is a clip-on earring? Jeez, Ruka. Really?
He doesn't want to sully his earlobes.
At this point, I would not be surprised.
Dude, me neither. Honestly. Now that you say that, I mean, I totally could see. Dude, clip-on
earring. That's such a Ruka thing, dude.
One other thing I got from Ruka here is that I mean, I think this should be fairly obvious for everyone, but he definitely doesn't know what he wants in life, period. Because I think toward the end of this clip, Ryo was trying to encourage Ruka, hey, go out and travel abroad. Even a month, overseas will help you. And then he said that then Ruka says that he wants to go to a safe place.
A deserted island.
California. Well, then he said, actually, I don't mind the danger. And then, actually, let's go to a deserted island. And it's
that doesn't help you at all.
Do you know what you want?
No.
That was such a kid response where it's it'd be it sounded like instead of talking about I'm going to go somewhere to better myself. He just got sidetracked and he was places that would be cool to go to. Mm-hmm. Deserted island is up there for Ruka.
He's a rudderless ship. And I just had kind of a realization just now.
Uh-oh.
I feel like Emika is most comfortable around him because she likes the way that he makes her feel about herself. Herself being a rudderless ship because she expressed doesn't that sound right, because she expressed how it's difficult being around Ryo and Hana and Kaori, I assume, and all the people that already have a clear direction, a clear path. And so I think it really endears her to Ruka. To she's found a kindred almost spirit in that. Just theory.
She's at least I went to university. This guy, I don't know what he's doing, but I got that much done.
He still wants to be fucking Spider-Man, I guess.
Dude, are we, quick question, are we talking about Hana? I might be jumping ahead, but are we talking about the video where Hana was talking about university students? Because that was fucking hilarious.
That's later.
Okay. We'll get
that. But this is a good segue, though, talking about Emika and Ruka, because there's this clip that is from week 21, where it's all three of the girls. It's Hana, Emi, and Haruka out for dinner together, which we don't see often in the show. But all three of them complain about Ruka and call him a child and that he is childlike. And even though he doesn't want to be treated like a child, he keeps acting like one, essentially.
Yeah. They were like, we wouldn't treat him the way that we do if he didn't act the way that he does, which I think is pretty fair if someone's like, treat me like an adult, and then he's like, I want to be Spider-Man. It's like, it's really hard to be like, yeah,
pretty
Spider-Man,
big
valid career. Yeah.
I will say, though, this it does start talking shit on Ruka, but then it kind of changes in this weird atmosphere where Hana's kind of going in Emika's throat towards the end here. Not really, but a little bit. You could definitely see it's the growing tension between them, and that eventually leads to their fight. But it's Hana's already setting the seeds of pushing Ruka and Emika together, in her head.
So I was really surprised to see this, because I remember the cut of this moment that made it into the show was, they were out shopping for pajamas, right? And then they went to a restaurant and they were, I remember specifically being like, oh my gosh, they're being so cute. Everyone's so nice to each other, because it was Emika was messing with Hana's hair and they were laughing and leaning into each other and being like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And then to know that this later happened in that conversation, or maybe it even happened before, I don't know. But it really colors that whole interaction totally differently. It's really interesting to see how early Hana was You and Ruka. You're totally.
Yeah, it absolutely drives home that problem we always point out with editor, right? In that this was clearly a scene cut out so that way it would have a bigger gut punch on the audience later, which I can't fault them for that. That's like reality TV 101. But it does just feel a little bit sleazy when you also then release this clip extra, right? To say, like, this could have been in our vision of the episode that we put on Netflix, but we decided against it. We still want you to know it was there.
They had to allot time for the conversation where they talked about wanting their boobs to be bigger. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
That's the same talk.
Also, can we just, like, side note, you mentioned boobs. Can we talk about how there's one clip that we're not going to dive into, but there was one clip that was just
There was just softcore.
Yeah.
Softcore porn. Is that what you're about to say? Is that softcore porn?
Oh my god. It's just softcore porn, basically.
The thing about this clip, okay, let's just set the stage real quick since we're not diving deep into it. It's just basically Haruka and Emika going to buy bathing suits and trying them on. The end. But it's like, I was like, isn't there a rule against just trying on bathing suits? Like, don't you have to have some kind of underage going on there? Or
underage?
What if you put it back on the shelf? It just seems, you know, it's been in the nether regions. I don't know.
It was just so weird because it was like, I would have been fine with it if it had just been like, oh, we're going to go try bathing suits. And then it cuts away. I thought it was like kind of a cute moment that it was like, oh, we'll just use the same changing room because... friends, whatever. Yeah. Girls, yeah. Do that. Yes. Girls do that. Girls do that. But then it spent like another eternity just like filming them walking out into the store proper in swimsuits and being like, oh, I kind of like the back. Oh, does this look too childish? And it was just like, stop.
It was boring.
We don't need this.
And the reason why we didn't want to really talk about it, because nothing happened. It was just boring. It's just people trying bathing suits. It wasn't that big a deal. There wasn't anything like juicy about it to me.
We know the origin story of the green bathing suit that Emika wore to the beach with Pepe.
I will say just real quick, I think that green bathing suit suited her really well. I mean, it's a pretty tasteful bathing suit, you know?
Yeah. I think this is just something that like a lot of the Another Terrace clips do, because I noticed like in the YouTube recommendations after this, there was like a video of Sana in the bath, definitely naked, that was like at 2.7 million views.
Naked.
Yeah, and then that video of Aya and Maya, right? From OND, where they're in the backyard and like sunbathing and talking about each other's boobs. Like that has almost 3 million views. And then it made me think, okay, so this is just the YouTube clickbaity bullshit.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, they need to pay the bills. And you know, yeah, like guys like seeing girls in bathing suits, no surprise there, but so do girls. Girls like seeing other girls in bathing suits too. It's just a human nature kind of thing.
I will say that at least they're even about it. We get tons of scenes of like guys doing modeling or pink scenes or
dude butt
in OND all the times in the bath.
I think I'll make an argument, a controversial statement here. I don't think there's enough sex in Terrace House. I think it's, and I'm not talking about the pink scene either, like softcore porn. Like I'm just talking about like actual like chemistry, and like I want another makeup. I'm thirsty. I'll admit it, for another makeout session.
Sit your holy ass down.
A la Sana and Noah. Like, can we get one of those this season at least?
Jack wants to pump in some hormones into the house. Some horny moans.
No,
I want some romance, some genuine romance.
Well, Jack, don't worry. Next week, we're going to cover the extra Another Terrace clips that were only uploaded to Pornhub.
My thought, I hope. But my thought here, we have the prevailing theory that Haruka is going to turn down Pepe, okay, after episode 24, right? So now that's, if that were to happen, that's 0-3 on relationships in you know, T20. Fuck that. I need something real here. I want something tangible.
You need something horny.
I just want love to bloom. Am I alone here?
Puffins or something.
Nobody wants a makeout session? Am I the only one that's willing to admit it?
I just want them to live their lives. If it includes macking out and tonguing down, that's fine by me. Let's dive back into the Another Terrace clips we do have on deck, though. This is another one from week 21, and this is the one that, Jack, that you want to talk about, where Hana's talking with her wrestling girls, Jungle Kiona and Konami, the little wave.
So it's like, I identify with Hannah here a little bit, because when I wasn't in college, I was like, oh, these stupid fucking university students, because I didn't go till later in life. And then kind of even when I went to university, I was like, ah, these stupid fucking university students. It's kind of like an in-group, out-group kind of thing. You know, like she's kind of told herself, well, that's not really my crowd. That's not my scene. That's not my destiny. They don't understand me and I don't understand them. And so she would say when she walks down the street, university students, the Garu type girls that are skinny and just basic bitches is what she was saying, would just kind of flinch and be like, oh, get away. And I'm like, dude, you intimidate them. Like Konami and her friend, her other friend was saying, like, she's like a big force out there just, you know, in Japan. People look at her all the time because her pink hair, and she just has a big personality. I mean, you have to as a pro wrestler. But I just thought it was interesting that she was coming down on university students so hard. And Hana, I just want to say I do identify with that. You know, but I've grown up to just kind of realize that people change and people can be different. So I'm fine with university students. It's whatever. I mean, I kind of, they're predictable, but, you know, like the spring breakers that went out and partied and got drunk and all that, like, yeah, it's pretty predictable. But I still try and look for the good in people.
As someone who worked at a bar for a year and a half, I can tell you that I hate university kids.
Okay.
Good thing you were never one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been out of school for 4 months and I already hate college kids. Fuck them.
Transitioned, huh?
Yeah.
I've been out for like a couple weeks now, but that's it. And now I hate university kids.
It's happening faster for daily.
No, I don't know.
Another thing I did want to dive into with this this little clip is Hana explains that how she's like really bad at trying to look at Ryo or talk to Ryo, right? Like how she's just really bad at romance in general. And she's the kind of person who will look them up on Instagram and on social media before she even really talks to them. I just wanted to use that as a launching point to say, if you do that, try not to. It definitely doesn't help. I think Jungle Kiona and Konami have the right idea when they say, if you're going to do that, at least ask the person, hey, what's your Instagram? Or hey, what's your Facebook? Right?
That's the best way to do it. Yeah. I mean, certainly, though, people creeping on people's Instagram is definitely a thing. She's just nervous, you know, and I thought they brought up a really interesting point. They're just like, well, you're just not used to being around guys. You're just uncomfortable around guys in general. And they even said that even when we go out to dinner, there's just like one random guy with us. You're not yourself. And you just focus on your salad and just don't say anything. It's like,
it's a good salad.
It's like, gosh, like she really does clam up around guys. And she just has zero experience with that. And people think she's a player, or didn't she say that people think she's a bitch? And that couldn't be further from the truth in reality.
Yeah, I just think that when was the last time she said she was in a relationship?
2 years ago.
That was a while back.
That's a while.
Yeah. And she's only been in one relationship.
She became a pro wrestler.
Maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah. I think she just needs to be like, she just needs to be in another relationship and get more experience there. I just don't think she's like used to it. She's just not used to being around it. And then that sort of situation, it sounds like. I don't know.
For sure.
Yeah, if I remember right, one of the reasons why they broke up was that he was like, you're not feminine enough. Like, I'm too intimidated by the pro wrestling thing. It's like, she needs a man, not a boy.
Yeah,
and
I
think especially with Ryo, she's experiencing a man. You know, like, he's in a, you know, vaguely similar career field, you know, sports.
Athletics.
Being very physical. And I think maybe one of the reasons why she's so intimidated by him too, and she mentions it, is that he's, you know, he's pretty forward for a Japanese man. Like, he like looks right at you. He's like, I can't look at him. He like looks right at you when we're talking together. And it's like, but she does that. She totally does that. And I think that puts off people, but I think that they're jiving because they're very similar. I don't know. Maybe this is just me shipping it hardcore.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And also, I want to say that she brought up a very interesting story here. Or no, maybe this was another clip, and I'm just conflating them in my mind. But she talks about how she's not very close with her mother. Has to do with wrestling. She's not very close with her mother. And then this might be another clip. They're just getting jumbled. But anyways,
I honestly don't remember either.
I do want to bring this up. But she said that her mother's already retired. But when she was just starting out in wrestling, her and her mom were fighting, and they're not very close. Okay, I remember this at the Korean barbecue video, actually. And so she said that because they were fighting at the time, they had to have a singles match together, and her mom actually physically beat her up in the ring And I was just like, that is fucking crazy. Like,
and then they made up.
And then they made up at the end. Yeah, usually you say when people are fighting, like Emika and Hana, for instance, if you have a fight, they usually, you know, make up at the end of it. There's usually no hard feelings. But to get beat up by your mom in public. And then that was a rough story, man.
And I mean, part of me wants to say like, oh, it's for the show. It's for wrestling, right? Because like wrestling is a show. It's a spectacle.
It is.
But it doesn't change the fact that just familial politics can make that feel pretty bad, especially because Hana mentioned that even before they wrestled that first time, their relationship was a little rocky.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I have to say that's a new concept to me. Using pro wrestling as a legal way to beat your kid.
Can I regale you with the story of Rey Mysterio fighting for the custody of his adopted child?
That came up in Discord this week. And like,
wait, so, that was a thing?
Yeah, SummerSlam 2005.
The custody papers are like in a briefcase hanging above the ring. I saw some of this. And then like,
holy shit. Why am I surprised?
The mother of the child comes out and interferes in the middle of the mat.
It's the wife of the guy trying to steal Rey Mysterio.
Oh, forgive me, senpai.
Yeah. Yeah, she has a sudden moment of mental clarity. She's like, no, it's wrong. We can't steal his adopted child. Eddie Guerrero, please stop. I'm going to throw you off of this ladder
now. It was Eddie Guerrero.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Oh, he died. Yeah. Oh, shit, dark. But I'm sure
Rey Mysterio 619'd him to death.
I'm sure Child Services here co-signed this match to make it completely legal. We'll decide the custody of his child by who's the better wrestler.
God, Vince McMahon, you wild
legal
boy.
System is very strange. Very strange.
Yes.
And I just want to say, I haven't been plugged into wrestling for a while, but I've seen headlines. Apparently, Rey Mysterio's son is getting back into this whole, like, he's a part of another plot.
Wait, the kid that was the subject of that? He's going to be a wrestler now?
He's grown up. People suspect he's going to be a wrestler in a few years, but at the very least, he's being involved again in some other stupid storyline. And it's
just me watching 5 minutes of that video. Now I'm invested now because that kid had frosted tips. I hope he still has those frosted tips. As a pro wrestler now, this is going way too deep, man. This is what quarantine does.
I was gonna say, speaking of getting beat up, I think the next clip that we agreed we wanted to talk about is a different kind of beat up.
Oh,
it's Emika getting beat up by Yama-chan's words. This is from week 22, where Emika comes home with Ryo, Hana, Ruka, and Haruka. And I just want to say off the top, we're not going to talk about Ruka because he's just in the background doing fuck knows what. Like, he's just fucking having his own time.
He's making that face where he's like trying to stay in this plane of existence, but he's struggling.
He's trying to channel his chakra.
Yeah, his head is slightly tilted downwards. And he's like he's looking up with his eyes.
Yeah.
But he's also like rubbing the bridge of his nose.
Just confused.
But he's also
he can't follow it.
Adult words.
But he's squinting. He looks like he needs glasses.
But he's also shaking a blender bottle. So he's making protein. He's getting swole, you know. It's foreshadowing for later. But essentially in this clip, Emika accidentally happened to stumble upon one of Yama-chan's videos, the Yama channel, right?
Right.
Stumble upon, sure.
Yeah, she wasn't Googling herself. She was just, you know, looking at one thing and then another. And then, oh, there it is. Oh, man.
Let's read the comments.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's dive into the comments. And she said that all the comments kind of really, really sucked and were very mean-spirited and hateful toward her.
Yeah. Yep. So it was interesting because you could actually watch her kind of fall apart as this video goes on. Yeah, it's really sad because that negativity just sucks, and that's why you just have to ignore stuff like that. And that's what everyone's trying to tell her, but she kind of starts by, when she walks in the door, kind of talking about it, but then like trying to say that it wasn't that big of a deal, but she progressively just gets more upset about it the more she talks about it.
Yeah, she missed her train. She was so distracted by she dived in, which never do, never read like so many comments about you.
That you miss your train stop.
You know. Yeah, gosh. I mean, like, Hana and Kaori pointed out, was Kaori there? Kaori was there. Yeah.
No. She's out of the house by now.
Oh, wait a minute.
There was Hana and Ryo were the ones kind of saying, hey, you can't read comments about yourself.
You should.
Oh, gosh. Sorry. But they were just mentioning, you know, like, these are people that don't know you. they're only seeing like a sliver of who you are. And she was like, yeah, I've been told that I have a bad personality. I come off as like having a bad personality. And it's like, anyone can come off as having a bad personality if you meet them for 2 minutes. Like,
yeah, it's the framing function of media. You know, you study that and they're going to show what they want to show and they're going to make, you know, certain issues more important over others. But not too far be it from me to indemnify Japanese culture. I love Japanese culture. You know, let me just state that plainly. But it is still interesting to me that Japan is considered a country that's very polite, very obedient. There's a lot of social structures there, rigid, and you do not step from or stray away from the rules, but generally you're pretty polite to all people. However, when we venture online on social media, it doesn't really extend there. Yeah, the people get rude. They really lay into you. They really have knee-jerk reactions, just the same as anywhere else in the world. So I'm not saying anyone's better or any worse, but I just think it's interesting that Japan has this reputation of being so polite and so on their side of good, but all these human, faults here are still going to play out in social media. So it's unfortunate, but it's part of it as well, too. When you put yourself out there, you are doing just that. You're making yourself vulnerable to the whims of the internet.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny. It's almost like the internet in and of itself is its own country with its own culture, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to struggle with this word, so bear with me. Anonymity. I mean, even us as a show with the bit of a following that we have, I mean, we get the occasional negative comments too, but we laugh at them more than anything.
Gasp.
We take them in stride. Yeah, gasp. But I think too, what bothered me about this particular clip was Hana's reaction. Like, just her, she looked really annoyed. Am I the only one who thinks so? Like, just when she was kind of talking Emeka off the ledge, you know, it was like she seemed really annoyed that she had to do this. Like,
oh, gosh. Troubled. Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed like I thought she was giving genuine advice. I didn't get the annoyance.
She was. It's just her face told me otherwise. Well, I don't know.
So my thought to that is that we've established this, and especially with these Another Terrorist videos, they are very different. They're on completely different sides of the coin here. So I think that she wants to help her out, but she also doesn't feel like they're friends. You know, so I think that's what it is.
This for me, it was a great moment between them, but I get where you're coming from. Yeah. But I think it was more like her being like, this is what you have to do. Like, I got this. I've been in, you know, the public spotlight for a while. Let me just tell you, like, don't worry. This happens. Yeah. This is what you need to do. And like Emeka even said, she was like, oh, my gosh, you're so cool. You're so strong. And that was just really nice because it didn't feel backhanded whatsoever. It just felt like, I'm struggling with this. You've clearly gotten over it. I'll take your advice.
Yeah, I think this clip showcases that Emeka feels a little different from most of the people we tend to see on Terrace House, because most of the people here are models, actors, etc. We've beaten that to death. But usually they're all chasing some sort of clout. And I'm of course willing to bet that Emeka's chasing some clout too.
Sure.
But I think she's coming from a less clout developed space that a lot of these people are. She feels like just a random girl being thrust into fame as opposed to someone who is seeking that fame and clawing for it.
That's interesting.
I remember, even in that first week she was in the house, she mentioned how she doesn't have an agent yet, which I called bullshit on, because there's no way you're on a reality TV show without an agent. But if that is true, I feel like this clip, you know, 6 weeks later or whatever, kind of exemplifies that.
I mean, it's a really interesting parallel. If we think about Yui in OND, you know, she also was just like a teenage girl fresh out of high school that just wanted to get a career in wedding planning and came onto the show and then was really, really affected by the comments that she was getting. I think it's the same, like you said, Robert, the same situation with Emeka, who's not been emotionally prepared for this kind of anger from strangers on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, just think about their backgrounds. They really do come from different worlds, different universes. Emeka's got both parents. She's got a brother. They care for her. They love her. You know, they support her. I don't even know if Hana's even brought up her dad or her relationship with him, but she clearly doesn't have what I'd call maybe a healthy relationship with her mother. You know, so they're just from different worlds, and they have different worldviews, different experience levels. And it's the stage is set for some major shit to go down, especially if Hataka leaves soon. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and that does become a common thread of like Hana being worried about Haruka leaving. And one thing I also, before we leave this topic, I also wanted to bring up, we talked about earlier the idea of how like people are portrayed by the media, right? And so do you think that we are kind of getting the Ami treatment for Emika here a little bit? Like, it was from an OND, Ami was kind of like, you know, she kind of got a bad look based on the editing itself. And by the end, we learned that, you know, she befriended Tsubasa and they became very close. Are we going to see something similar with Emika here? Like,
they're different. I think they're too different.
It might be too soon to say.
Yeah. I think so, too. I just wanted to put that out there since we brought up how people are being portrayed earlier.
I think Emika is being portrayed pretty accurately.
I hope so.
I get the sense, anyways. Definitely.
Yeah. I think we said it on, you know, in the episodes, we want to see these moments that she has with Ruka, like them hanging out, watching rom-coms, playing video games till 3 a.m.
Snoozing.
But other spooning. Than that,
spooning.
And we don't even know if they're spooning or if they're just on opposite sides of the couch.
Are
like, we don't have an exact.
Are they playing Tetris?
Are they knifing?
Weird.
I was trying to think of another utensil and I couldn't.
I was too.
Are they chopsticking?
Tonging.
Tonging down. Are they tonging down?
Okay, I'm done.
Listen,
never mind.
You gotta clack them together to make sure.
I don't know what I was saying, but just, you know, I think we are seeing a good amount of Emika. I don't think that we're being led astray.
Mm. Same.
Well, let's lead our show astray by talking about that clip from week 22 of Ruka pumping iron, building muscle.
Dude.
Oh.
Drinking protein.
Listen.
Ruka, listen. You're killing us, bro.
The juxtaposition of him next to that trainer guy was so crazy to see. That guy is really a friend to him, and he has really good advice, and he has Ruka's best interest in mind, and he needs to listen to all that advice that trainer gave him. And see him, I mean, Ruka's not known for his, you know, strength, but to see him struggle with those small ass weights on that bar, it was like, you got to start somewhere.
Just beginning.
You got to start somewhere.
He's got to start somewhere.
I got you. Someone needs to teach him that when he pushes up, when you exert force, you need to exhale. He was holding his breath and it's making him weaker. And it was stressing.
It was actually really bothering
me. It's bothering me out too. I was like, breathe out, man. But, that guy, that trainer brought up some really good points. He's like, you need to learn weekend. And then Ruka says, well, I swear to God, I thought that I could read weekend. I could tell it said weekend. What do you want to do this weekend? But the interpreter or the teacher guy kept saying Walking Dead. I'm like, no, he didn't. Do we see the
Do you want to pull up the clip? Yeah. We can pull up the clip right now.
Keep saying Walking Dead, to the point where apparently the official Walking Dead Twitter account retweeted that shit. That is fucking crazy to think about.
Buddy.
See, I'm gonna cut him some slack here. I don't do it often, but there is when you're learning another language, there's a very big divide between I can read that versus I can hear that.
Oh yeah,
listening and comprehending voice can be very difficult. So I can kind of believe him. Like, maybe Walking Dead's a bit of a stretch, but I can totally believe him hearing the guy say weekend and not comprehending that it's weekend, but being able to read the letters and know that it's weekend.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, something as simple, I think Robert taught me how to say, like, thank you in Korean, and he took him, like, five times. He had to say it, like, five times to me before I understood what the hell he was saying. Mm-hmm. So, I understand. I kind of get it.
What is he working out for anyways?
I have different...
What is he working out
for? To become
Spider-Man. Oh, okay. Is that it? Okay.
He's got a swing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants to be...
Needs some muscle to do that.
He's going to be as swole as Chris Evans.
No, that's a fair point, though, Jack. He hasn't said, like, I'm working out because this, or because he's not just, like, working out. He's got a trainer. He's going to the Apple Gym, the logo was really weird.
It looks like a sexual wellness or, like, a fertility clinic or something like that.
It totally did. It totally did. Or, like, a relationship counseling place or something.
It's funny. Yeah, tiny little gym.
The logo was... misleading. How are you affording a personal trainer, Ruka? Parasol's money?
He works full time 3 days a week.
I wish I could afford that. We've never seen like that.
At that bar that we haven't seen since he had his interview, and they never even said if he was hired, or we don't know what the fuck this guy's doing.
I've seen posts around saying that he is there. He's been spotted. He's
still there
doing Ruka things.
Hopefully they don't lock down.
So
you know, maybe they just aren't comfortable with Terrace House shooting there very much. And maybe for those copyright reasons that you mentioned earlier, Daily. And maybe the same thing with Emika's job, because she works too. We never see anything or hear anything about her job.
Mm. Yeah, do we even know what she does?
They probably just said, do not mention us on this fucking show. in any capacity.
High class escort.
Probably. She would be good.
Dude, she's like Barney from How I Met My Mother. How I Met Your Mother.
Amen. How I Met My Mother.
Wait, so what do you
yeah, play for your strengths? Another thing from this
video. What do you
video,
do? Please.
To go back to this video real quick. Apparently we find out that young Ruka is storing his protein powder in the fridge, and he can't really articulate that he's putting it in the fridge because he's confused about the compartments of a refrigerator. And the trainer's just sitting there shaking their head like, no, it's
what's the fridge? Yeah. That's still the fridge.
I love that the trainer, the first thing he says after Ruka said, I put the powder in the fridge, the trainer immediately says, you probably shouldn't have said that.
He's like, you're about to leave and now you hit me with this.
Like, no, he's like, because he knew they were being filmed and he was like, you probably shouldn't have said that.
That's my thought, exactly. Because I think you notice it too in the clip with Hana when she's talking to the wrestling girls. Like she says, I forget what it is she says exactly, but then the other two girls are like, oh, is it okay to say that on camera? Like they're very hyper aware, right? That they're being filmed. And I feel like this is another one of those scenes where the coach is hyper aware and it's like, dude, you just made yourself look like a dumbass on TV.
You just dug yourself a grave there, buddy.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. We're almost done and now you hit me with this. And then he buries his face in his hands and then the clip's over. Yeah.
Because it's like, it goes on. It's like, but no, I mean like this part, it's like still a fridge. Still the fridge. It's like, just powder. Nope. It's just powder, man. Yeah. It's just powder.
Just,
you can
please
keep
stop.
It. Keep it where you want. Stop.
It's where you keep the pet bottles. That's still a fridge.
I'm sure there
what
are.
The fuck is a pet
I'm sure there are some like wheat germs or some weird like powders that maybe need to be kept a certain temperature. But by and large, protein powders
do not.
It's
not a smoothie.
Yeah.
It's not a smoothie.
I would just like to say that dude looked very uncomfortable on camera, like the entire time he was on camera. He looked very like, why am I having this conversation right now?
Yeah, I agree. Ruka did look pretty uncomfortable on camera.
Oh my god. No, it's funny you say that because I felt like this was the first time I've seen Ruka like super comfortable in a while. Like he was just like smiling and like talking to the guy and I never saw him like try to think.
Yeah, do that like that thing.
You know,
like,
he gets that really troubled look when he tries to think.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, is my brain still there?
His gear spinning face. I just see like a hamster on a hamster wheel on the inside, like chasing a peanut. No.
Jeez.
La 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 la.
That's the inside of Ruka's head. Yeah. No, it's just this like 60s Spider-Man theme over and over and over.
Spider-Man. Let's see. The next clip we have is the one with Ryo and Hana in the Korean barbecue, but I think we kind of covered most of that already. Mm,
the thing, the fact that her mom beat her ass was the main takeaway. Yeah. But that food looked so good.
The food looked good. I fucking
love
Korean
barbecue, I miss food. Remember food, guys?
I haven't eaten for 3 years.
Food is good.
Clearly. No.
Yeah, but I will say what I did like in this scene is that we get a little bit of humanizing, like, a tidbit, I guess, for Ryo, because his whole motivation for wanting to be good at basketball is so fucking wholesome, and I love it. It's that his dad coached him in middle school, and his dad is apparently like a really good middle school basketball coach, like well-known in the area. And then when Ryo traveled abroad to get better, and then when he came back, he chose the team that was close to home so that way his parents could come see him perform as much as possible so he can prove to them like that coaching was put in the right place.
So wholesome.
This whole scene, it's like, why was this taken out? But this really hit home that it was like a date. They talked about their parents. They talked about their dreams. They talked about eating, which I loved. It was like, I eat so much. I eat so much. I loved him talking about he like likes girls that eat a lot so that he doesn't have to feel bad and making them wait in the restaurant while he's still stuffing his face. That was that was cute.
Yeah.
And then it even got brought up and it's like, oh, do you like being on a date with this pink haired girl?
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, it's good. Mm. It's good.
Yeah.
And it's like, date, date.
Total date. I totally echo that as well, too. Nothing is a bigger annoyance to me than when you're on a date and you want to, like, get down on some, like, really good meal, but then the person you're with is just sitting there eating, like, a tiny little salad, like, one leaf at a time. It's like, nah. It's definitely a plus for me if a girl isn't afraid to eat actual food like a human being in front of me.
Yeah, hey, or a whole rack of ribs.
Salad is actual food.
I mean, yeah, but chopsticks one leaf at a time, like, you know, like, yeah. Come on, man. Because he said he wants to eat a lot and he doesn't like people waiting on him. And I get that. I've been on a few of those dates in my time and it's not fun. It's not fun. Just be you.
Yeah, you're Same. Sitting there like, feel like you have to rush now.
Yeah, the thing also that was interesting about Rio's backstory was that apparently his dad is a very well-known basketball coach. He was really strict with him at the time. There were times where Rio hated his dad, but now later in life, he really appreciates him and he loves him. And he is glad that he pushed him as hard as he did because now he's a pro. And so yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting backstory for him.
It's very wholesome.
I do remember at one point on the chalkboard, it was like Rio wasn't there because he was having dinner with his parents. And I think that's really nice. You don't hear about a lot of people's families on Terrace House for some reason.
No.
Tsubasa's dad is the standout.
Tsubasa's dad.
Absolutely. Oh my god. That shit was straight like TV drama.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the Terrace House producers are holding back the parents because maybe like all of their parents are really cool, like Tomio-san level, but they're like, no, if we release the floodgates now, like we'll be shooting our shot too early. We gotta wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then the
house
is.
Dad is just Kojima. From
Kamakura. Hideo Kojima. Yeah.
No, not that Kojima. But Kojima-san.
No, yeah. The local mark
is it
or whatever.
Kamakura?
Kamakura, yeah.
Yeah, Kamakura.
Yeah.
Yorp. Mm-hmm. One of those Kamakura shirts.
Same. He's the house
the
dad.
Wise, our wise leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know. This clip is like, I want so much more of this. Like, turns out, guys, we become more invested in the people on our reality TV show that we watch if we just know them more. If we just know them better.
Well,
thought.
Huh.
I gotta say, not to compare like apples to oranges, but this date like was way more natural than going and eating sushi in Ginza. This was there was conversation was flowing. There was some, you know, jabs back and forth, like Rio being like, you know, we took a bath together, right? Like you don't have anything to be embarrassed about.
She kept her earrings
stuff
on.
Like that.
Well, as far as we know.
Yes. I'm willing to bet the earrings stayed on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think part of this prep we did was watch the 24th episode of the Yama Channel for this season. And I think now that you brought up the Emika sushi date, I just wanted to say I do kind of agree with him in that he says something like that sushi date when they said there's 10,000 yen and 12,000 yen, he likened that to like level 1-1 and 1-2 in Mario.
Yeah.
And Emika seemed disappointed.
She was like, that metaphor was so good.
Is that a fucking $100? It's $100 and $120, right? Am I doing the math right?
Yes.
Dude, those are both fucking expensive. But she acted like she wanted more. She was unimpressed.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because like, she was like,
keep going. Yeah. Where's the $600 dish?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want level 8-4.
Nothing, nothing to me is a bigger turnoff than like that sense of entitlement. And that sense like
you're spending $100 on me, why aren't you spending $1,000?
Only 100? I thought you were a pro basketball player, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like I don't know
what you dunked did you take me to.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't even know if she really was feeling that way. It was just her attitude. You know, we're reading a lot into like her body language and stuff, and we should, but also trying to give her a little backdoor, like benefit of the doubt. Maybe it was the editing, but she does give that air of, you know, oh, take me to very expensive barbecue and all that stuff too. Mm. You know, it's just not appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, I want to give her the benefit of the doubt too, in that she says, like she said before, that she's very shy in the first few weeks of getting to know someone. So maybe this is just kind of stemming off that. Like when you're really shy and then you're on national TV and then you have to perform, sometimes you can overperform. You know, like out of nerves as opposed
and just like kind of clam up. And like she is concerned about the comments now. We know she's reading them and they're affecting her.
Absolutely.
I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And before we close out this episode, too, to contrast that, I just wanted to bring up, too, that I think the last clip that we had listed for week 24 here kind of shows clues us in, though, I think, to where Rio stands between Hana and Emika, because I think what this clip showed us was that Ryo isn't really invested in either of them. I don't know. It didn't seem like he was really giving much advice to Hana in that clip where she was basically talking about her fight with Emika.
He's scared to get in the middle of that, and I would be too.
He's very neutral.
I would be too.
Very neutral about it. And he's like, yeah, he's basically at the end, he's just like, that's tough. And then the clip ends.
I think he's actively trying to mediate, you know, because he asked Emika that sushi date, like, is there a way that you guys can make up here? Because it makes shit awkward. He's feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's trying to wrestle with the fact that he wants to help them, but he also knows that since they're both invested in him, it's kind of hard to get it.
Yeah, Jack.
It's kind of hard to like mediate that, right? Because he knows that whatever he does is going to be read with like 8 different intentions.
Just
how it is, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was tired. Kind of rocking a hard place, he was like, well, it was like his bedtime too. He was like, it's tough. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah. I don't care. I just want to go to bed.
I just need to sleep.
There was one video too that is a good segue to the last scene of part two, where Haruka actually does let Hana know that she's going to be leaving soon, and also Hana revealed Pepe's secret to Haruka, that he was the only one that raised his hand to say that he had a crush, and Hana said to Haruka that she thinks that he had a crush on her since at least then to now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was kind of a good kind of foothold to have to take us to the end, the final scene there. That was very frustrating, where Haruka's going to reveal how she feels.
Man, I don't know how to feel about that scene, because it was like Hana was like, oh my gosh, I don't want you to leave. You're the person I become closest to. Like, she was like genuinely crying. But then which was really sweet. And Haruka was kind of like, oh, yeah, like the awkward hug that went on like a beat too long.
Yeah.
But it at the end there, it started feeling like Hana was like, you're the only one I can like talk to, and I don't want to lose you because of that. And it started to become more like about Hana's problems than it did about like, Haruka, why are you leaving? If you feel like, you know, what about Pepe? What about your feelings?
Mm-hmm. I kind of agree. I think This scene illuminated to me that Hana is a kind of a shit human being, because she kind of only cares about herself in this entire scene. Like, even those moments where Haruka is explaining like what happened on that cocktail date with Pepe, right? It's like, oh, and he gave me pink roses. That scene wasn't about Haruka. It was about Hana and her reactions to Haruka. Like, that's what that moment was about. Like, it wasn't about supporting my friend Haruka. It's about, I want you to know how I feel about you, because I'm the one who matters here.
God,
like, that's the kind of vibe I got.
You're taking the harshest tone right now. You're giving no quarter to Hana at all. It's really rough,
she
man.
Gives no quarter to she gives no quarter to anyone else. To
yeah,
be
I
fair.
Don't know. I don't. You are harsh on Hana right now. I don't know if I can go down this path with you.
I don't know. I just think because but then, like Daly said, then she turns it toward, okay, it's cool that you're doing well with Pepe. But let's talk about me now. You know, let's talk about my problems. Let's tell you about the thing I know about Pepe that only I know, because it was on my birthday when I asked everyone to raise their hand. You know, it felt very centric to her. And then it just led back to how she's worried about Emika. And it's like, okay, all right. I'm kind of worried about the girls in the house in the next few weeks, if I'm not going to lie.
I can see where you're coming from, and I agree that I think it's worth worrying about, like, I mean, what's going to happen in the girls' room? So I don't know. It's just really, I don't know if Hana's that selfish, or if she's just like, I think she's not doing it intentionally, with like consciously thinking that like, hey, I'm thinking about myself. But when she does say stuff like, you know, who am I going to talk to after you leave? It does come across as like, I'm kind of just worried about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really talking about, you know, this dilemma that you're having with this potential relationship you could have.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't take the parts of her like telling like about the Pepe hand raising thing as like selfish. I see where you're coming from with that. But she was definitely like pivoted to herself way too soon for a moment like, hey, I'm thinking about leaving the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think either of the girls are right. Like what Haruka said, I don't think Emika is completely right. I don't think Hana's completely right. I don't think they're either completely wrong either. So I'm still kind of a wait and see. I haven't made up my mind yet about that, or even if it's even necessary to pick sides there at all. So I'm still thinking and marinating on it right now. But I don't hate either of them yet.
Yeah, I'm with Jack on this one, actually. I think that's where I stand with it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate Hana, but sounds I do think like that she's coming off very selfishly. Look, we're talking about these people. If I'm not going to get, like, would you rather me deliver it? Like, I think Hana was doing okay.
I'm just saying you throwing the hammer down is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm glad. Someone's gotta
I hear, take the stance. I see where you're coming from.
I gotta bring the heat.
I see where you're coming from. Okay. Heat has been brought. Yeah. It has already been brought.
That she's, Latino heat, just like when Eddie Guerrero tried to steal Rey Mysterio's
son. Oh my gosh.
How many times can we...
That's a brand new sentence right there.
/ brand new sentence.
Oh, man.
Okay. Oh. I think that about covers the another terrorist clips we wanted to talk about and probably a few more.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Dude, does Final Fantasy Remake come out the 7th? Or is the 10th? Or when is that?
10th.
The 10th? Okay. The That's going to be a hell of a week, man. Terrace House Part 3, Final Fantasy. Wow.
Resident Evil.
Big week for Japan.
That's later this week.
Big week for Japan.
Mm-hmm. No, it's going to be a very fun week.
Yeah. Holy shit.
But yeah, I think let's dive into the Terrace House Deathmatch Panic real quick. Let's make a quick little detour to that, because we have
a champion.
Yeah, we have our champion. We have the winner of the heated battle between Lauren Sai and Armand Bitaraf.
Come on, internet, don't let me down here.
Well, depends. What's letting you down mean?
We know that how I feel about both these people. I love Armand.
The grand winner here, with more than 70% of the votes or whatever, is Lauren Sai. Congratulations. She did it with her super powerful mutant powers, her ability to regrow her limbs when they're cut off. Congratulations.
Okay.
And we're happy that you won. And to Armand, it's an honor to be in the finals.
Okay. We are happy that she won. Okay. I guess I'm just like, it's been well documented how I feel about Lauren. And there's no way in a death match that if Lauren and Armand were like face to face in a battleship in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, a la the end of Metal Gear Solid 5 or 4, that this would go down like this. But hey, I guess it's popularity contest, whatever.
The people have spoken.
They have spoken. I didn't vote. I couldn't. We abstained from voting, but you guys got what you wanted. And that's all I have to say about it.
I'm just more surprised that it was by such a huge margin. That she won.
Josh Short too on the comments there pointed out that two Hawaiians made it to the finals.
Oh
yeah.
Hey,
it's true.
Yeah. Although, I mean, is Lauren Sai Hawaiian?
I thought. I don't know.
She's not Hawaiian. She was on Aloha State. Okay. Armand's from Hawaii.
Got it.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it was fun, honestly. When we first set out to do this during the month of March, for no reason at all, I didn't expect the response to be as cool as it has been.
Cool response.
But honestly, thank you so much for voting and just having fun with us and enjoying this stupid, dumb idea that we've threw out there to the world.
Hey, it wasn't that dumb. It's fun.
Like, hey, I'm just saying.
Of all things.
Because of certain circumstances, this was pretty much the only other bracket people had to fill out for the month of March.
Exactly. So. We had to give people brackets. We're short on brackets for the month of March, turns out.
Yeah.
But, quick, we need more brackets.
It was stupid. It was fun to see how you guys voted. And I just want to echo Robert's sentiments there. Appreciate everyone participating. And we are very surprised and shocked at how many of you guys did vote. So thank you for coming out and showing up for your own. And I guess congratulations to Lauren for winning.
Jordan.
I guess. But next year, right? I guess she can't be in it next year. So someone else will have to win.
Yeah, we'll revive everyone again.
Yes.
And then next year they'll all fight again. And then the winner of next year has to fight Lauren Sai for the true championship. Mm,
okay, and she's going to get a
Oh yeah, maybe in our voicemail here, let us know who you wanted the most to be in the deathmatch panic, or who you felt was wronged, or we got the voicemails for a lot of things, guys.
Yeah, just Hell leave yeah. whatever you want on there. I don't care. Leave, like I said, your favorite French toast recipe. Leave whatever you want, but if it's a good voicemail, we might play it on our 100th episode, and we want those, so do it.
Yeah, you can tell me how much you love Kiwi skins.
No mm-hmm. one yes. ever will. Mm-hmm. Please actually berate Colin and tell him how wrong he is for the Kiwi skin whole thing.
I'm gonna stick this flag right in the very pinnacle of this hill.
Of all the places.
Look at all those
big words you're using, Colin. Hill, stick.
Man, he's coming up in the world, guys.
y'all making fun of me, but just wait. Colin. Just wait. There's going to be legions.
Colin, what do you want to do this Walking Dead?
This Walking Dead.
But yeah, if you do want to leave us a voicemail, again, we might play some of those in the 100th episode coming up soon. Please call 614-349-6579. That's 614-349-6579. Just Yay. Leave us a voicemail. We'll take a listen. We'll take a gander, and who knows? It'll be fun.
Yay,
we'll
Jenny, I've ones. Got your number.
8675309.
Now you're just confusing the people,
number.
Jack.
That's not the number.
We need our own
Jack.
Jingle. Okay,
we do.
614-349.
I'm so glad someone was brave enough it to try because no. it wasn't going to be me
either. No. Daily, thanks for stepping up.
6579.
Okay.
There you go. There it
is. Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang.
Yeah. And of course, I do want to shout out one more time, Costco Subs. Thank you again so much for doing everything you do for this community. It's crazy that we're able to even watch and enjoy these clips.
Yeah.
Thanks to your hard work. So, again, appreciate it for that.
Mm-hmm. 本当にありがとう.
Mm. Next week, we'll be back with, we'll be back on April 7th next week, which is a very normal day for the Terrace House fandom. Nothing new or exciting is happening on April 7th, of course. Eh? So, yeah, no, nothing. It's just a normal day.
Day.
No, nothing's going to drop on Netflix. There's not going to be a new part or anything,
what?
Of course.
It's a huge day, and we are going to be here day and date, and we may or may not have some cool shit planned for that episode, so stay tuned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're actually going to hack the system, and we're going to cover episode 40 of Tokyo 2019 2020 next week. I know that's not out yet, but we're just going to time travel.
Yeah. So
yep. We're on set, doing our own filming.
Yeah. Is now a good time to announce that I'm a housemate?
Gosh. Yeah. Yep. He's the next boy after Takamine-san leaves. Colin's gonna.
Why are we spreading all this misinformation? I just have this question.
Yeah. Remember when I said I was the Ruka of the group? Yeah. I'm replacing Ruka.
Ruka's gonna be there forever.
Ruka's gonna be there for eternity.
He has no.
He's gonna have the longest run.
He definitely.
He doesn't know how to go home.
He already almost is gonna have the longest run. Like, yeah, he has nothing else better to do.
Can you imagine, like, he does leave the house, but then, like, every episode after, he's just in the background, like, trying to figure out how to leave, like, how to open the front door, but he just can't figure that out.
Oh, dude.
He's the house pet.
I still can't open the door.
It's still strange.
I saw Rio do it, and I couldn't.
It's strange, though,
because
he is a good driver. He doesn't get enough credit, but he's a good driver of the Jaguar sports cars. He does that.
That's
good.
True.
So. What
Ruka.
An enigma.
We mean it with love, I think.
Sort of.
Love.
Yep. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please do email those to questions@terracehousepodcast.com. In the same vein as the voicemails, if you have anything you want to say about the 100th episode, like what have we done that have maybe helped you in your life and help enrich your life, if possible, if at all, shoot those emails to us. We might read them out on the 100th episode. Should be pretty cool. We'll be back next Tuesday, of course, with the first episode of part 3. We're going to cover that for sure. Don't skip a beat because we'll be there. This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itadakimasu.
I waited till now and I had this revelation.
Uh-huh.
I have to slide this in here. Do you ever mm-hmm. think that the reason why they have walls up on the roof is because when Ruka leaves, it prevents him from swinging away?
But he could climb, if he were Spider-Man, okay, in this universe where he is Spider-Man, he could just climb over those walls.
I thought you were just going to say to make sure Ruka doesn't fucking fall off the roof.
Like a baby.
It's like a baby gate.
Exactly, a baby gate.
They
yeah.
secretly have baby gates that they put up in the bathroom. Follow us on Instagram at Tadaimagram, on Twitter at Tadaimapod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and brand new Discord server, all linked in the show notes.
Don't go for a second best, baby. Put your love to the test. You know you got to make him express how he feels. And baby, then you know your love is real. Express yourself. You got to make it express himself. Hey, 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 hey. So if you want it right now, let me show you how. Express what you got. Oh, baby, ready or not, express yourself. Thank you. We can put this at the end of the episode. It's fine.
Express yourself.
You got to make him express himself. Hey, 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 hey. I think I got Robert just sipping his tea there.
We're singing two different songs.